Off Air, the podcast with Jane Garvey and Fee Glover.
I go to the sink and I have some cheese.
You eat cheese in the sink?
Doesn't everybody?
Every Monday to Thursday, Jane and Fee keep the microphones on after their Times radio show.
I think if we were to do a Mr. and Mrs.
Oh,
no, how would that go in the booth?
Badly. It would go very badly.
Unencumbered and off air.
Two tiny women with gobs.
Off Air, the podcast, now available on the Times radio app.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hello and welcome to The World in 10, your daily roundup of the biggest stories from across the world, written by our correspondents and reporters at The Times of London. I'm Jenny Barsby.
And I'm Laura Cook. Today, we're taking a look at how China's president wants to try and bring an end to the war in Ukraine. We also head to Paris, where there are concerns over how prepared the city is for next year's Olympics.
We'll also take a look at the life of Jacqueline Gold, the woman who made Anne Summers a high street name. Now, China is rarely out of the news at the moment. We've had accusations of Chinese spy balloons floating over the USA and, of course, concerns that TikTok is gathering information for the Chinese government, which its parent company ByteSize does categorically deny. But it now looks like China's president wants to try and bring an end to the war in Ukraine.
Moscow and Beijing revealed earlier today that Xi Jinping will travel to Russia on Monday, and China's foreign ministry announcing that he and Vladimir Putin will likely discuss his 12-point plan for peace.
Now, there are also unconfirmed media reports that Xi may hold a phone call with Ukraine's President Zelensky after that trip. So why is China so interested in bringing an end to the war? I mean, we all want to see it brought to an end, of course, but I think it comes down more to the Ukrainian grain. China is a big buyer of that, and the war has seen exports all but dry up.
Yet despite concerns in the West about China and Russia's relationship, so far, Beijing's calls for negotiations between Moscow and Kyiv have been met with a lukewarm reception, to say the least.
Now, Didi Tang is a Times China correspondent, and she told us what she thinks Xi can realistically achieve.
Hopefully, Xi is going to be able to use his personal sway to tell Putin, look, we can ease the situation, right? But we don't know what kind of concessions, President Putin is willing to make to ease the situation or even to end the war. And I think it's going to be a little bit hard because China has this position paper on Ukraine. And then you also have Zelensky has this peace formula, right? Those two things really don't ally very well. So China has its own kind of political agenda, right? But at the same time, I think at this point, China, President Xi definitely is going to score points if he can somehow push at least, in a better direction.
And why not take out a Times of London subscription so you can keep following this story as it develops?
To Paris now. The sound of protests there with police firing tear gas and water cannon. Now, this is all after the French government pushed through an unpopular pensions bill in the National Assembly yesterday. It all centres around President Macron's plans to raise the retirement age. It's using special powers to increase it from 62 to 64, this effectively bypassing Parliament. Now, there have been 300 arrests across the country in these protests, and the Times of London's Charles Bremner is in Paris, and he's been telling us how this could all play out.
This is deemed to be extremely brutal, cruel and unjust by 70% of the French people, although they voted for President Macron to carry out this reform when they re-elected him last April. This is an example of how France sees itself as an exception to the rest of the world, and it does not accept that people have to work longer to pay for their pensions, and they think the government should reverse it. But the last time people managed to reverse a pension reform after it was passed in Parliament was 1995, so it's become a test of wills between Macron and the street.
Meanwhile, it is 500 days before Paris hosts the Olympics. And if you're in any doubt as to how prepared they are, then just have a read of Adam Sage's article in the Times of London. The People's Games are supposed to be popular and accessible to all. But critics are saying tickets are really expensive. We're hearing €700 for some events. Police are also saying the opening ceremony presents a security risk and now needs to be scaled back.
So a little more on those tickets, as you were explaining, Jenny. Basically, a draw was held for the right to buy the first tickets on sale. When names were pulled out of the hat, people found that they couldn't just buy for the event that they wanted to go to, but they also had to buy three separate events. So sometimes at the prices of, as you say, up to €690 each. So if you want to go to the athletics, you'd also have to watch sports like weightlifting and volleyball too, forking out extra money, the overall cost sometimes reaching more than €1,000 for a family.
That is a whopping price. Now, Tony Estanguet is the chairman of Paris 2024's organising committee. He's described as the French Sebastian Coe. That was the organiser of London 2012, of course. Now, he insists the tickets are competitively priced and no more expensive than the London Games or to go to football or the Rugby World Cups. Now, with the opening ceremony, the plan was to have 600,000 people watching a flotilla of 180 vessels from the banks of the River Seine. Police say it'll be difficult to control the 6-kilometre route, and now they want to reduce the numbers significantly. And as if you needed more, then the organising committee says it will need to employ 25,000 security guards at the Games. Guess how many they've got so far, Laura?
Go on.
Just about 3,000.
Well, they need to do a little bit more work then. All that and more with Adam Sage's article in today's Times.
Awarded an MBE for services to entrepreneurship, women in business and social enterprise, Jacqueline Gold, who is credited with turning Anne Summers from four backstreet shops into a multi-million pound business, has sadly died at the age of just 62 after years of treatment for breast cancer.
Now, for those not familiar with Anne Summers, it's a sex toy and lingerie business chain which can be seen on high streets across the UK.
Her story began back in 1979 when she was just 19 and her dad, David, the former joint chair of West Ham Football Club and sadly who only died himself 2 months ago, offered her some work experience at those four shops he bought a few years earlier. In an interview with the Sunday Times, Jacqueline said that she had no intention of staying as the business was very male-dominated, sold products aimed at men and had an all-male board.
She then decided to go to them with an idea, which, in her own words, was going to be a direct challenge to the status quo. It was going to take the all-female Tupperware-style party we know and love from the past, that concept, and apply it to their products.
At the time, you would never, ever think that would work, but hey, the Anne Summers parties were born. Now, these gave women who wanted to buy lingerie and sex toys but didn't want to go to those all-male sex shops a safe place to talk and try out the products. They were also, I admit, really good fun, though Jacqueline herself did admit that some men felt intimidated by what might be going on behind closed doors.
So
So I've come down to the 11th floor of the news building here in London to speak to Susie Jagger. She's the Times Assistant Foreign Editor. Susie, what's in the pipeline for tomorrow?
We're doing a story about Leo Varadkar, the Irish Prime Minister. He was at an event in Washington that was attended by Hillary Clinton, mm-hmm. and made a rather importune, ill-taste joke about the time when he was an intern at the White House in the second term of Bill Clinton, saying that it was at a time when parents might have had cause for concern. Clearly a little gag about Monica Lewinsky. Anyway, he's apologised today, so I'm sure there are plenty of Irish people having a little chuckle about it, as we are on the Times.
They've spent 31 years at the top of the list. But now America's favourite breed has been knocked off that top spot. The Labrador has been replaced by the French Bulldog.
Comical, friendly, loving little dogs. That is how the French Bulldog Club of America describes the breed. You will have seen celebs like Reese Witherspoon, Lady Gaga and Leonardo DiCaprio with their pups. Apparently, get this, they offer a lot in a small package, just like me.
It's what I was going to say. It's been said about me many times, Jenny.
Now, 25 years ago, they weren't even in the top 75 most owned breeds in the US, and they're also getting top prizes in competition too.
So while they're gaining popularity over the pond, they're also very popular here in the UK. But unfortunately, they don't escape criticism. Just last week, the RSPCA were calling on dog lovers to sign an open letter. Crufts was obviously held last week, the International Dog Show. And this open letter is a bid to end the judging of flat-faced dogs who suffer for their looks. But clearly, that's not having an effect in the US. That dog now tops the list.
Top dog, quite literally. And that's it for today's World in 10. We'll be back tomorrow.
I'm Manveen Rana from The Story, a daily news podcast from The Times. Join me and my co-host, Luke Jones, for a deep dive into the big stories and investigations. Plus, each month, William Hague hosts an agenda-setting interview with a key newsmaker or big thinker. That's The Story, The Times' daily podcast that brings you one remarkable story told in depth. Listen every weekday on the Times Radio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like wary of the police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.